Welcome once again to the Catalyst Arts Alive podcast. My name is Bill DeYoung, and I am so happy to be here bringing you into the arts community. I'm joined today by Mark Sforzini, who is, of course, the artistic director, the founder, and the grand poobah of the St. Petersburg Opera Company, a good friend, and it's always good to be sitting across the table from him. Hello, sir.
Hello, Bill. I've never been called the grand poobah before, so that's a new one.
We're going to add that to your business card.
It's a delight to be in the studio with you today.
Mark is a musician who wears many hats, including this one. He's the conductor of the Tampa Bay Symphony, which is principally what we want to talk about today. The Tampa Bay Symphony, as I read, has about 80 musicians in it. Now, it's not the Florida Orchestra. It's a different orchestra. We have two, folks. Who's in this? Who are these musicians?
These musicians come from all different walks of life. We have professional musicians. We have school teachers who teach music in the school and want a place to perform. We have engineers. We have architects. We have firefighters. We have car mechanics, lawyers. You name it, we've got it occupationally.
Is it from all across Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay. We even have some players who come as far away from Pasco County to the north and Sarasota. We have a doctor who comes up from Sarasota to play violin with us. And besides being very cross-occupational, it's very cross-generational. We have players anywhere from age 20 to 80.
Well, we're here today specifically, again, there's that word, to talk about the next Tampa Bay Symphony concert, which is January 31st at the Palladium Theater. It's called Innovation and Freedom. And folks, there's a Gershwin piece on there. Let's go down them one at a time, this program, because it's so fascinating to me. Tell me about the Gershwin. It just said, George and I are Gershwin. What exactly are you doing? Is it just a medley of Gershwin things?
This is a medley called Gershwin in Concert.
Gershwin in Concert, that's
and,
what it was.
And yeah. It features four songs, I Got Rhythm, Someone to Watch Over Me, Swonderful, and Rhapsody in Blue.
Brilliant stuff.
And Gershwin, you know, he was very innovative in that he combined jazz styles with the classical style. He's not the only person who did that, but he's probably the one who's best known for doing that.
Oh, Rhapsody in Blue to me is just, because I came very late to classical music. If you talk to my wife, she didn't. And so she, you know, I'd say, well, I love Rhapsody in Blue. It's beautiful.
It's a brilliant piece.
But it's very jazz-like. Isn't it?
Yes, but it's also classical at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Blending of those genres, and that's where the innovation comes in and the freedom in that particular case.
You're also doing the Chopin Piano Concerto number one in E minor, I believe, if I got that right. Who's your pianist for that?
Gregorio Zamparis. He's a professor of piano at the University of Tampa. He's an amazing player. He plays all over the world as a soloist. He's soloed with us before on Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto and Rachmaninoff 2. Wowed our audiences. We're having so much fun rehearsing with him.
That's fantastic.
You know, the Chopin, it's called Chopin Piano Concerto number one, although he wrote it slightly after his other piano concerto, but it comes down to how they catalog these things.
Yes, as if things weren't confusing enough.
Right,
in that world.
Right. And, you know, Chopin was very innovative at his time in the way he wrote melodies. His melodic invention was considered very innovative, his use of harmonies, the way he varied the traditional forms. So we don't often think of Chopin as being an innovative composer, but you have to think about him at the time he lived and how the music he wrote at the time was innovative based on what was happening in the early 19th century.
The third piece on this program is by William Grant Still. It is called the Afro-American Symphony, and I'm going to confess that I don't know this gentleman. Tell me about this piece.
This is an amazing piece of music that everybody should know. It should be standard orchestral repertoire. It's brilliantly composed. His sense of orchestration, the colors he gets from the different instruments is amazing. Each movement is inspired by a different piece of poetry. You know, the first movement is based on longing, the second movement's based on sorrow, the third is based on hallelujah, and the fourth is based on uh, be, be proud my race in mind and soul. And, you know, William Grant Still, like Gershwin, combined the jazz flavors with classical music also. He's just not as well known for doing it as Gershwin.
Is he contemporary still?
Or is he? No, he lived at the same time as Gershwin.
Okay.
And so he's no longer alive, but he also has the claim to fame of being the Afro-American Symphony is the first symphony by a black man that was performed by a professional orchestra in the United States.
We're talking like 30s, so that's pretty significant. 20s, 30s, 40s?
Yeah, we're talking like 1930.
Wow, that is significant.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually, you probably don't know this, but there's actually a controversy where the melody for I Got Rhythm came from.
Mm.
Because William Grant Still was playing in a Broadway show called Shuffle Along in 1921, and George Gershwin used to come to this house.
George stole the mail. I stole this.
Well, I didn't say that. Wow. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that there is a large body of evidence that suggests that William Grant Still was improvising this melody on a regular basis at these performances, and then it showed up. Gershwin put it in I Got Rhythm in 1930, but William Grant Still also quotes the melody in the third movement of his African American Symphony. And, his granddaughter, the oral tradition is that this is where Gershwin got this four note riff from.
Wow. So, why isn't he more well known though still? I mean, is it because of the old like societal thing that he was African American and we don't, you know, honor him as much? I mean, sad to say that was probably true in those days, you know, but why don't we know more about, I've never heard the name before we started talking here.
It's sad to say, but there's probably some truth to what you just said.
Yeah.
Now, I like this quote from William Grant Still. He said, "For me, there is no white or black music. There is only music by individual people that is important if it attempts to dignify all people, not just a particular race."
That's beautiful.
So I like that quote from William Grant Still.
Yeah.
So
how do you program these concerts? I mean, how do you say, well, we haven't done Chopin in a while. Let's go into the file cabinet and see what we got. Or does something strike you as you're traveling? Oh, I'd love this piece of music.
Yeah.
How does one program these concerts?
Well, as all three of these composers were innovative and they brought freedom to the forms they were writing, I felt like it was great for the St. Petersburg Celebration of the Arts, which we're experiencing in February, and the theme for that is freedom. So I was really trying to tie into that, and you might also notice on your dates that in addition to playing Tuesday, January 31st at the Palladium, we're also playing Sunday matinee, February 5. So
also at the Palladium.
At the Palladium. So we really wanted to tie into the Celebration of the Arts, which is such a great thing for our community that Michelle Kidwell Gilbert and Dr. Gordon Gilbert founded and put together.
I was going to give a shout out to the Gilberts because that is an amazing thing. And so Innovation and Freedom from the Tampa Bay Symphony at the fabulous Palladium Theater, January 31st and February 5th. February 5th is matinee?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it gets even better.
Mm-hmm.
It goes even deeper into freedom because February 26th is the Tampa Bay Symphony International Composition Contest Finals. And can I tell you about this? Because this is so exciting.
It was next on my list to talk about.
We do this so often. We're like finishing each other's
sentences. Go ahead. Tell us about the international
composition.
The finals are on February 26th. It says here in my notes. So go ahead.
That's a matinee also, 2 p.m. that day. The other matinee is at 2:30, not to get confused. Anyway, 6 years ago, we started this contest for composers from around the world to submit works for the Tampa Bay Symphony to perform. And some years we have a theme, like last year's was tied to the pandemic and COVID-19, and the pieces were supposed to be about that in some regard. This year, the theme was specific to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We asked for pieces by composers that were newly composed in 2022, so they had to be written in 2022, and they had to somehow tie into the theme of Ukraine, Russia, war, peace, and freedom.
Uh-huh.
freedom. So it's tied into those things. And we got 50 submissions from around the world.
Truly international then.
Yes. And these pieces, these people are writing, pouring out their hearts about what's happening in the Ukraine. And they're just amazing. It was very hard to whittle it down to three finalists. And these three pieces, the symphony will rehearse. And then on February 26th, in front of the public, we will briefly rehearse each piece and play through it. Mm-hmm. And then the orchestra gets to vote for the winner. The audience gets to vote for an audience choice award.
Ah.
So there's audience participation.
This is a free program, too.
This is a free program.
It's so
this
cool.
is so much fun because you get to see me rehearse the orchestra a little bit. You get to hear three brand new pieces. If you're in the audience, you get to vote for your, you know, audience choice. And it's about such an important, relevant thing. You know, the situation in the Ukraine is so bad, and it so ties in to the theme of freedom and the festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. Where can you tell me where the three finalists came from? I mean, do you have that information in front of you? Do you remember?
I wish I had that right in front of me.
It's on the symphony's website, I can tell you that. Because I read it this morning. I just didn't write it down either.
Yeah, I know that one piece is called Defiant Overture. One is called Incandescence, Ukraine's Undying Light. And the other piece is called Through Shattered Snow and Falling Glass. And that features a part for soprano voice. And Hannah Brammer, who sings frequently with the St. Pete Opera, will be there that day rendering the beautiful vocal part on that. Unfortunately, I'm blanking on the composer countries right this
week. Well, we can go to the Tampa Bay Symphony's website because I know I saw that this morning. You mentioned a soprano voice, which, sounds like a segue to me. St. Pete Opera is how old now?
We are in our 17th year.
That's fantastic. I know.
So we are almost legal.
you'll be able to drink soon, right?
No, we'll be able to fight for our country soon, but not drink. I don't. Can't we?
Oh, is it 21? I don't know. I haven't been that young in a long time.
Right.
So we're in the middle of, what is it, season 17?
Middle of season 17. Okay. We're having a great season.
The next production is Fidelio. By Ludwig van Beethoven.
Yes.
I didn't know he wrote an opera. So tell me, this is in March, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute. But tell me about this piece. I didn't know Beethoven wrote vocal music.
Well, he didn't write a whole lot of vocal music. This is his only opera. Mm-hmm. And it's also tied into the concept of freedom and liberation of people. And it's a really amazing piece, and it doesn't get programmed as often as it should. We have an amazing cast.
Who wrote the libretto? He didn't write the words, did he? I mean, see, he's blanking, folks. I thought this guy knew everything. We'll pause and say that Fidelio is coming up March 24th through 28th at the Palladium. And have you cast it already? Is everybody in place?
Oh,
already?
Yeah, it's all cast. Yeah, those people have been under contract for months. And, mm-hmm. and we have really an impressive cast. A lot of the singers coming have sung at the Metropolitan Opera and other A houses. You have an amazing orchestra lined up, a great stage director, Carl Hesser, who you know.
Oh, sure, Carl's
done so many fantastic shows for us.
What's the story? Directing.
A very unique set, too, done by Frank Chavez, who's an award-winning mm-hmm. set designer in the Tampa Bay. Well, the basis of the story is that Leonor's husband, Floristan, is a political prisoner because of his political beliefs, right? I mean, everybody, that seems to be a very relevant topic these days too, right? And she disguises herself as a man and infiltrates the prison to rescue him. And they rescue a whole bunch of other prisoners. She rescues a whole bunch of other prisoners in the meantime too, so.
Keep talking for a minute. I'm looking up who wrote the libretto. Tell us more.
I feel so bad about not having that answer.
You know, now we're both going to know. Who's in the cast? Can you name some of the singers?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Leonor is Kristen Chambers, and she's amazing. Brent Riley Turner's our Floristan. Hannah Brammer's our Marcelina. Her husband, an amazing baritone, Alex Boyd, is Don Pizarro. Mm. Chris Romeo, a tenor that frequently sings with the company, is Giacchino.
Oh, Chris is great. Chris is a great singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The librettist is a gentleman named Josef Sonnleithner. Sonnleithner.
That's why I didn't remember that. Yeah. My brain can only hold so much.
I've already forgotten it, but I'm sure he's a great guy and wrote this tremendous story. That is March 24th through 28th at the Palladium, the next big production from St. Petersburg Opera. The pandemic slowed you down. Mm-hmm. I was working with you guys a bit in those days, and everything changed really dramatically in 2020. How has recovery been for you? You were doing all those wonderful outdoor shows as a way to still showcase what you do and entertain people.
Yeah.
Our audience is coming back now to the big productions.
Oh, yeah. There was a huge surge in our audience for Tosca at the Palladium in October. Mm-hmm. Our public Pinocchio performance is sold out in November. Our Holiday Sparkle, A Mall and the Night Visitors, it's practically sold out. We have a Night of Gershwin on February 10th, and I'd plug it more, except that it's sold out already. You can't even get a ticket to that. And that's more Gershwin, and that's February 10th at the Opera Building.
Okay, but when are you doing a night of Joseph Sonnleithner? See, I can make him laugh, folks. Gershwin is sold out.
And we're still doing outdoor things too. We took our holiday pop show into Stroud Park in mid-December, and we did a performance out there for hundreds and hundreds of people.
That's fabulous.
We're doing something in April called Opera Cowgirls, which is a little bit reminiscent of these opera shows we used to do during the pandemic.
Yeah.
We're bringing in four women who blend the country genre with the opera genre.
There was one singer who was in maybe Kiss Me, Kate.
Brilliant.
I remember.
Her name's Caitlin McKechnie.
Caitlin McKechnie.
She is one of the Opera Cowgirls.
I had a feeling. I knew she did that.
She was here
stuff.
For Kiss Me, Kate. Another one, Jessica Sandej, was here in the lead in La Traviata.
Wow.
So they're amazing singers. They've sung here before. They have a great relationship with the company.
Yeah.
They're teaming up with a couple of our local artists for some of the numbers, but they're pretty much largely self-programming, and it's just going to be amazing. We're doing it at three venues. We're going to be at Tampa Theater on April 20th and Opera Central on April 22nd, uh-huh, and the Floridian Social Club on April 23rd.
It's nice to get out and play different venues, isn't
it? It is. This is a big outreach thing for us to go to a couple different venues, uh-huh, and try to get people who might not normally try opera interested in trying opera, and then saying, hey, this is actually really interesting. It's not some of the things I thought it was going to be, because there's myths about opera.
Oh, of course. And we can sit here all day and talk about those myths. But one of the things that I learned, if I haven't said it before when I was working with you guys, was, I learned so much. I mean, one of the main things was that the singers are all such nice people. Some of them are egomaniacs, but in a good way, folks. Yeah. I mean, they're very, very talented. And I love that. I think more than anything else.
I only hire nice egomaniacs. No.
that's really a thing, isn't it?
Or just nice people who aren't egomaniacs at all. But if they happen to be egomaniacs, they're definitely nice.
But they're also they're definitely great singers.
Amazing. I mean, when you think about how hard what these people do is and what they've achieved, mm-hmm, then you can kind of understand why they have the standards that they have
for
things.
I meant that in a joking way.
I know, but it really is a very tough profession.
Sure it is.
To learn to sing in this way without a microphone and project the voice and to resonate and sing in all these different languages. And then not only do you have to be musical and sing the music beautifully, you have to act.
You have to
put on heavy costumes and have lights shining in your face, and you're expected to be an amazing performer while all this is happening. It's a very high pressure career.
I really enjoyed my time with St. Pete Opera because I think that, as I say, I learned things, and maybe I had a few misconceptions about that kind of music and those kinds of musicians, meaning singers, and it was all wonderful. Plus, I just got to meet some wonderful people all the way around. I think we've pretty much done it, but let's recap and talk about the Tampa Bay Symphony, which is coming up once again, January 31st at the Palladium. Is it 8 o'clock?
8 p.m.
Okay, and that's the Innovation and Freedom Concert with that amazing stuff. Also repeated February 5th at 2:30
at the Palladium.
Got that right. And then later in February on the 26th, the International Composition Competition Finals.
2 p.m.
At 2 p.m., yeah. Mark Schwartzini.
And you don't want to miss either of those things. I'm telling you, these are both, like, so worth seeing.
You know, one of the reasons I was so glad to bring you in today to talk about the symphony is because there's so much going on here, and I think maybe people don't realize, maybe you didn't realize it existed. And look at the options that you have here, folks, the options to see and hear wonderful professional people doing wonderful, beautiful, amazing artistic things all across the board. Please go on stpeteopera.org. It's org, isn't it?
Yep.
Thank you, folks.
Yep.
And see what they're doing. And also the Palladium website will tell you about all these shows we're talking about and Tampa Bay Symphony's website as well. Mark Schwartzini, always a pleasure.
Delightful to be here, Bill.
And we'll see you next time.
Sounds great.